sie gefunden habe. Mhm. Ja. Und auch die Bären, also ja, die sind ja jetzt. Und die Bären, die anderen Partner präsentieren, ist so weit.
Okay, hello everyone, good evening. Mr. Shem will start in a moment, just waiting to see if another couple of people want to join. Wait till 6:01 as we normally do. Okay, good evening, everyone. It's the Rosh Chodesh, or it's the tail end of Rosh Chodesh, depending on where you're listening to this, and March 26th. And stay to reaffirm our being chosen. It's hard to feel chosen when you're just a number, and the numbers are mounting. And this isn't a Jewish experience. I mentioned this a little bit earlier in my one of the videos I put out, that when the Jews suffer, as horrifying as it is, we know that we represent Hashem in this world, and that we sometimes have to absorb hostility because we challenge the world morally and we challenge the world theologically. And we feel a strong sense of being chosen, and part of that chosenness is Gir Yezer Acha Be'eretz Lo Lahem. When we're just suffering a joint pandemic that is afflicting every country in the world, Jew, non-Jew, it's harder to feel that sense of Bechira. I talked about this earlier this week. How do you even daven? Our davening is so universal and so global, but our language of davening is much more national, and Menama Gifami Nachla Secha, and the Kali Deber, Vechara Vera, Vishfir Mashchet, and Bnei Bri Secha. I spoke about this earlier in the week, but certainly is, don't forget that today's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It's the day in which our bris with the Kodesh Baruch Hu began. It's the day in which we have our own counting scheme, our own historical timeline, the Rosh Hashanah of history. I thought it'd be helpful tonight to listen to the words of a great rabbi who on this week Parshas Vayikra, in a much, much more compromised and nightmarish situation than we're facing, as difficult as our situation is, how did he handle the suffering that was around him? And this is, of course, the Esh Kodesh, Rav Klonimus Kalman Shapira, the Piazetzner Rav, who was the Rav, or one of the Rabbanim, in the Warsaw Ghetto. He was born in the late 19th century. He was caught in the Warsaw Ghetto. He had many opportunities to escape. He didn't. He stayed with the people. He tried to participate and to continue leading his Hasidim. Very involved, interestingly enough, in keeping the mikvah open. That's something that we've thought about a lot as communities. How do we keep mikvahs running during a time in which even our breath and our contact create such contagion? Bris Mila, so many of the interesting aspects that were difficult in the ghetto are chas v'shalom, no way to compare the two, but just reminding ourselves to get a little proportion on what our situation is like in 2020 as opposed to what Jews had to face in 1940. He was there in the ghetto from 1939 to around 1942. He was murdered in April 1943 in one of the German actions. Very, very well-known sefer. So since he has a piece on Parshas Vayikra, he doesn't have a piece on every single parsha, figured climb back into where he was, what he spoke about, try to make sense of it. What can we take? What can't we take? How do we process this? With the controlling question always being, how can we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu during Gnei Tzara? That's really, if you had to ask me to really reduce it, how can we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when it seems like the world is random, angry, hateful? What does this mean? Because ultimately our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is far more important than any fate that can afflict the human being. So there are two issues that he spoke of. I'm really selecting out a fairly long piece in Parshas Vayikra. Parshas Vayikra begins with HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to Moshe, hence the name Vayikra, to Sefer Vayikra. So why, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in this ongoing conversation with Moshe, we would expect the typical Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemar to start the proceedings. And yet the proceedings begin with Vayikrael Moshe Vayidaber Elav Me'ol Amor Lemar. So the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls to Moshe Milashon Chiba. Vayikra is a term of Chiba, affection, care. How do we know Vayikra is a Lashon of Chiba? Because it's the language that the Malachim speak to one another, defer to each other. Vikara ze el ze viyamar. Pasuk in Yeshayah, pasuk we know very well. But the actual source of the pasuk is, of course, Yeshayah Perek Vav, where Yeshayah has a vision. We'll get back to Yeshayah's vision. And he sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his Kisei HaKavod, and the angels are surrounding him. Pasuk Gimel Perek Vav, Vikara ze el ze viyamar, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzivakos, Milo Chol Haaretz Kivodo. Important to read that pasuk a little bit because I miss that pasuk. That's a pasuk which we recite together and in joint minyan settings. And there's a lead up to it. Kesiyat nulacha Hashem Elokeinu k'sivyan v'yecha v'kara zel zevi amar kadosh. Unfortunately, we haven't had the opportunity to jointly exclaim the kedusha of a kadosh baruch hu. But there can't be any more psukim in the Torah that are more blatant in kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Our ability to yimakadosh shem shemayim. So the Malachim speak to one another, Milashon Chiba, using the word Kriya. The Kodesh Baruch Hu calls to Moshe with that same affectionate term of Kriya. If you want, there may be a little parody involved that the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants Moshe to be part of the process, just like the Malachim are calling to one another and giving each other Rishus and acknowledging each other's ability to jointly be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. But the Piazetz and the Rav asks, well, wait a second. Well, why is that? Because he doesn't ask questions and answers. He's more of a flowing prose, but I'm setting it up as questions and answers. Why is this in the beginning of Vayikra? Why not in other locations? Maybe Har Sinai, maybe. So the obvious answer to that is this is a beginning. This is a commencement. It's the beginning of the same Vayikra. So Vayikra is very dense and saturated in halachos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins with the Lashon of Chiba. But for the Piazetz, then what was more striking was the continuation of the Pasuk. Adam, Ki Yakriv Mikem Karban LaHashem. Adam Ki Yakriv Mikem Karban LaHashem speaks about Karbanos. Vayikra speaks about Karbanos. Now, a Karban, as we all know, it's ABC of a Karban, isn't just some sacrificial ritual in order to appease angry gods, but it's losing a little bit of yourself. Adam Ki Yakriv Mikem. Those who fasted yesterday and recited Slicha, also some of the other terminology surrounding the fast. Literally, if we lost some weight yesterday and we sweated and it was difficult physically for us, well, that should be our kapara. And in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, we had the ability to just substitute animal sacrifice on behalf of our personal suffering. But now we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, so we fast and or neshalma parim sfaseinu when we daven. But essentially, the Parsha Vayikra describes korbanos. And karbanos are formal and ritual in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, and they can be condensed in a fast when we fast, but also more experientially, it's when we suffer. When we suffer, when we lose something that we value, when we lose our lives, when we lose our stability, when we lose our security, when we lose our hope, when we lose our jobs, when we lose our day-to-day, that's also a form of Adam Ki Yakriv Mikem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reminding Moshe that even when a person undergoes sacrifice and korbanos, I love you. Lashon chiba. Don't think that I'm angry. Don't think that I'm vengeful. Don't think that it's random. There are reasons. And there are reasons even if you're living in Warsaw in 1940. And there's certainly reasons if you're living in the modern world in 2020. Not to compare the two, but just by way of analogy. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu intentionally, before he introduces the section of korbanos and sacrifice and losing and difficulty and yisurim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins with the lashon of chiba. Vayikrael Moshe mi lashon chiba. Sorry, someone has a chat. I want to try to answer the chat. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Rav David Silverberg. So this is, of course, known roughly as yisurin shel ahava, that even righteous people, even without deserving it, there's no sin, or certainly no sin that justifies it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us and wants to perfect us, and whether that perfection is to teach us and to instruct us and make us better, and hopefully to take stock. It's been 2 weeks. Are you a better person? Are you better in your relationships? Are you better in your brachos? Again, no one knows the logic, and does it take a pandemic to make us better, and can we justify it? But the takeaway, and this is one of the lessons for Eo, and a person, again, these are not ideas that we have thought about too frequently, because most of us have lived through a relatively easy period of Jewish history. But the notion of being mekabel yisur and shalava, of trying to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, and for some reason, just like a father, kasher yaseh ish espin Hashem elkecha miyasareka, this is a first for many of us. This is the first time we've felt, and I hope that everyone listening is not intimately encountering death, and but people around us, people we know, the fear, the anxiety, the losing our lives and our livelihood and our day-to-day. So this is the first thing that the Piazzetzner tried to encourage the Chassidim in the Warsaw Ghetto, I think it was 1940, 41. But then he continued, because in the Zohar, it sounds as if the ability of the Malachim to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, to be active, to be Bekara Zel Zevi Amar, is activated when the Jews are Bekara Zel Zevi Amar, or is activated when the Jews recite Uval Etzion, the Aramaic version of Bekara Zel Zevi Amar, is a Mekablin Dein Mindein. Bekara is Mekablin Dein Mindein. When the Jews are Mekabel Dein Mindein, one from another, then the Malachim start to Bekara Zel Zevi Amar. And of course, in Chassidus, events, and in Kabbalah, events on this world influence, activate events in upper worlds and higher realms. So when the Jews are Mekablin Dein Mindein, then according to the Zohar, which he quotes, that enables the Malachim to be Bekara Zel Zevi Amar. So how are Jews Mekabel, how are Jews Mekablin Dein Mindein? How does this work? He talks about, of course, the obvious, we give tzedakah to one another, chesed, running in an earlier stage of the Holocaust. I think he's talking about when Jews hear about the plight of other Jews and their hearts are broken and they feel for them. I think some of the more nightmarish scenes had yet to occur. I'm just reading timeline of when he writes this and what he's writing about. And of course, everything I say today about Jews is very uniquely hotwired to the Jewish role in Kabbalah. And of course, Kabbalah, and particularly Hasidus, doesn't really think about the general population. But certainly, absent of the Kabbalistic impact, certainly when we hear about people suffering, and we hear about people dying, and we cry, and we fear, and we mourn for them, and I said yesterday, we take those moments of silence where we just absorb and suffer the trauma, and certainly we feel more deeply for people that we're more connected with, which are our immediate surroundings and our people. Then we're creating a Dein Mindein interaction that allows the Malachim. So this is something he took his Hasidim to a different place. There's not much you can do. You can't really escape the ghetto. You're locked in the ghetto. You can't actively respond to this threat. What you can do is you can feel the sympathy and you can have your heart broken. You can try to perform chesed. He was very involved in some of the chesed organizations that were still heroically trying to keep the Jewish population of the ghetto intact and functioning. That was his second point. Yisur and Shalava. Kodesh Baruch was not angry. He's not vengeful. He's not full of bloodlust. But he loves us, by Yikrael Moshe, even before he speaks about a korban. He's taking korbanos from us. And again, our korbanos are no way, shape, or form even close to the korbanos that were experienced 80 years ago. The third part, which I think is the most powerful part, and I spoke about this earlier in the week. In that section in Yeshaya, where Yeshaya sees the Malachim and hears them reciting Kadosh, 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 and the foundations of the Beis HaMikdash start to rock via Nu Amos HaSipim Mikol HaKorei. So Yeshaya is very overwhelmed. Omar, Oyli Chidid Mesia, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't encounter a Kadosh Baruch Hu like this. Ki ish temeis vasayim anochi, because my tongue is impure, which is fine. It feels self-inhibited. It feels inferior. Inferiority is a function or a sign of humility. But then he says, uvetoch am temeis vasayim anochi yoshev, and I'm living with people of impure tongues. At which case, one of the angels flies to him, has a coal, touches him on his lip, and says, now your sin has been healed. Generally, Chazal referred to this, or turned this, transformed this into a punishment for Yeshaya because he incriminated or he indicted the Jewish people. It's one thing if you feel inferior on your own. I'm Ishtamei Sevasayim. But then to start casting aspersions on the Jewish people, V'toch am Tamei Sevasayim Enochi Yoshev, that's a step too far, and that demands a punishment, and he's touched on his lip with the coal, and that atones for his sin. So essentially for the Esh Kodesh now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Yeshaya and telling us, not only are the Malachim activated and empowered and attuned to what's happening in this world, but I am. What happens to my people affects me. And if you're indicting my people, then you're not realizing how painful it is to me. So I'm calling Moshe because I don't dislike the Jewish people. I'm not angry at them. I have reasons. I love them. I care for them. And you missed the point. You didn't get the memo. When you heard the Malachim, the Karazel, Zevi, Amar, Yeshaya, you should have realized that their Kriya is really a function of the Jewish people's Kriya. And not only is the Malachim's Kriya a function of the Jewish people's Kriya, but I feel their suffering. And it appears that's their quoted in Medrash, at the Sneh. And the reason he doesn't quote this, but the reason the Sneh was chosen, because it's thorny and it's low and it scars you. And Hashem says, when the Jewish people are in Mitzrayim, I'm not going to appear on a mountain or in a palace. I'm going to appear in a lowly bush because I'm suffering as well. And he calls out, he says, Moshe, Moshe. There's no pause between the two words, Moshe. And the Medrash says, I'll read you the Medrash. Why does he call out Moshe, Moshe? I find the Medrash. It's very powerful words. Moshe liadam shenasan alav maser gadol. Let's say you're carrying a heavy, heavy burden. You just can't carry it. And you say, help, help. Today I came in after 2.5 hours of shopping for Pesach. When I just had somebody say, guys, kids, come help me. I didn't call their names. I just called their names quickly. He said, please come take off this burden for me. Moshe, help me with this burden. Hashem isn't calling him in a, as we would say, in a concerted, deliberate, comfortable fashion. Moshe, Moshe, help me with this burden. What's the burden Hashem is carrying? The suffering of the Jewish people. Moshe, please redeem them so I won't have to carry this burden anymore. Moshe, groaning, Moshe, Moshe, help me with this burden. I can't take it anymore. That's how the Piazetzner tried to build the spirit in the Warsaw Ghetto 80 years ago, maybe 879 years ago. Yisurin shel Ahava, realizing Hashem isn't angry. Number two, our interaction, whatever you can, whatever chesed we can show one another, whatever Zoom contact we can have, because it starts at home. It isn't easy living in closed quarters with people who you love deeply, but you're hurt by deeply when they say things or do things or don't do things. So it's so important to wake up every morning and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give you strength to be gomel chesed, not just by joining a Zoom share or helping someone out or calling a chol, as I mentioned earlier in the week, but just by being kind, forgiving to the people around you. And that will activate upper worlds. And of course, it's clear that this isn't a pandemic we're just going to solve medically, or certainly our ability to solve it is because the worlds will align and because supernatural forces that are off will help us overcome this. And third of all, the Piazetzner said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is suffering. And I've told you so often this week, daven for the Shechina. Don't just daven for the sick people, but how will human beings continue to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in this world after such death and misery, and so many people will lose faith in God, chas v'shalom, and so many people will have crisis of faith and will not be able to recover and won't see the Shechina. Does that bother you? Does it only bother you your own hide and your own security, or does it bother you Malchus Hashem in this world? I just want to add something that Piazetzner said, not this week, Parshas Vayikra, but in a different place. And it's just something which I'm thinking about. And he says that when Jews daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's so much that's audible, and the voice, and HaKol Kol Yaakov, HaYadayim Yedei Esav. And for us, we're such an auditory religion. And he's sad, and he says, but now, he says, we can't daven with a minyan, and we, because we're so busy running to work detail, and we can't even daven out loud, because if we're caught davening out loud, we'll be punished, we'll be beaten, we'll be maybe even executed. He says, just try to find that inner shriek, that inner voice. So we haven't had the joint shrieks and the joint calling, because we've been herded into our homes. But when you daven, Let your voice emerge. So much of davening is connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that voice, your auditory tone, connects you. You feel like you're speaking. Again, depending on where you are, your davening shouldn't be loud at the expense of other people. Again, we're living in tight quarters. Be mindful of your space and be mindful of people's space. But try to find a time and a place to daven where you can scream, where you can cry, where you can sing as we did today, where you can talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where you can feel your heart flutter. Because they didn't have that in the ghetto. They had to imagine it. We don't have the minyanim we'd like, or at least have the voice we'd like, and they didn't even have that voice. I was thinking about a different ghetto, not the Warsaw ghetto, but the Kovno ghetto in Poland, a little bit, actually Ukraine, a little bit more easterly, where Rav Oshry was the Rav, the young Rav, and a lot of questions were posed to him, and he wrote a sefer called Shelos V'Tshuvos Min HaMamakim about life in the ghetto. One of the questions they asked was, well, we come back from work detail on Shabbos. We come back, of course, we miss davening, we miss Musaf Shachris. Should we read from the Torah? So he paskins, it's a long piece. And he paskins, this is the first tshuva of Chelek Dalet. The first tshuva of Chelek Dalet, he says that during the summer, they would get back 6-7 o'clock. It'd still be light outside from their work. He said, you should read the Parsha at Mincha. During the winter, it's too short. And you don't can't really read the Parsha, but at least you should try to read the Parsha to yourself during lunch on the work detail when you can. There was a person named Reb Shimon of Klois, from the area of the tradesmen, that he would gather everyone on Rehov Yanova in Kovno. So everyone would gather on the street in Kovno called Janova Street, and he would read from his little Tanakh that he still had quietly. While they were eating, they were sitting on this, I guess they were working in the ghetto rather than at a work detail. So we're trying to be mezaka people to read from the Parsha. So again, we miss Kriya Satara, but at least our private reading is still available to us. We have to fear like this, Reb Shimon, at the fear reading. The Gemara in Bracho says, and with this I'll conclude, that how do you know the difference between Yisurin Shel Ahava and punishments? Yisurin Shel Ahava is not a punishment. It's meant to offset some of our sins. Hopefully, some of our sins have now been offsetted. It's meant to transform us into better people, give us teaching opportunities and learning opportunities. How do you know the difference between Yisurin Shel Ahava and an onesh? Where it says in Brachos, two deals, but I'll just conflate the two. If the Yisurin prevents you from learning Torah and or davening, and those are really harsh Yisurin, they're not just Yisurin Shel Ahava, they're the next level, as we would say. But if you can still daven and still learn Torah, then those are Yisurin Shel Ahava. So Baruch Hashem, we're all aware of the amazing, amazing learning that's taking place. And I hope that our davening is still healthy and fervent and passionate. And this is probably, for many of us, our first encounter with real Yisurin Shel Ahava. And Yisurin Shel Ahava only work if we accept them. If we realize so much of our effort emotionally is to try to solve the illness as we should. Try to question our behavior as we should, try to reinforce, but some of it just has to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu was offering us Yisurin Shel Ahava. We just have to accept it. Okay, so Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we'll have this shiur around 4:30. I'll put a link on my Facebook and I'll put it in various chat groups. Not sure when it will be, but since it's Erev Shabbos, I don't want to be, obviously it can't be 6 o'clock. And I'll try to think again, as I've had in the past, of something related a little bit to Shabbos so we can differentiate between Shabbos and the other days of the week that feel very similar to Shabbos. Have a good and healthy evening, everyone.